This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Adam Carriker Show, the loaded show, the show that gives you unique insights, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I have a whole lot of fun in the process. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and on Wednesday, Steve Taylor drops that knowledge, but noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. Come join us. Grab your lunch. We have a whole lot of fun, and hopefully some intelligent things are said at some point during the hour as well. Don't keep your expectations too high, though. All right, today we're going to be doing Carriker's Trivia Challenge yet again. So you can call in, try to take down yours truly. Jake, what is that number?
424-645-685. We'll play that in the second segment.
All right. First person to call in gets to take on yours truly. My winning percentage is 66%, 2-1. That's higher than Steve Sipple's. He's done it a lot more often. I don't know, a couple hundred times. But his winning percentage, we did the math, is 52% on the season, 55% overall. So the fact that I've only done this three times is completely irrelevant. My winning percentage is higher, and that's all that matters. Right, Jake?
I think that's how it goes, yeah.
Well, it's my show, so that's what matters. All right. So Carriker's Trivia Challenge, call in. Jake always comes up with the questions. I assume it'll be USC-oriented. By the way, for those who are not staring at Jake like I am right now, he's in a beautiful number, number 90, but in a rear-end ugly USC jersey. You got to tell me about this USC jersey. What in the blue hell is going on here?
Well, I went to the USC spring game a few years ago, 2022, and to try to drive up attendance for the USC spring game, they said, we're going to clear out the locker room. We got all this backlog of old jerseys and stuff, and so they had this major sale, and it was very cool. And so I got a jersey there. I went with my dad. It was awesome. So the U.S., the spring game, they set a record because they did that of near 15,000 people in L.A. Oh, wow. Went out to go see the spring game.
15,000, that's cute. But the jersey is awesome.
The jersey is very cool, yeah.
There might be more Husker fans this Saturday.
Yeah.
Honestly, there might be more than 15,000 Husker fans this Saturday than were at the record-setting spring game. But apparently you made some good memories. The number is phenomenal, so I'll forgive the jersey attire. And when I asked Jake about it when I first walked in the studio, well, you said something to the effect of you just wanted to kind of poke some people or troll people.
Yeah,
that's what
troll.
You said.
I'm kind troll of a people. Troll, yeah.
That's right. Hey, we have fun here on the Adam Carriker Show, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're going to talk a whole lot. It's time. It is time to talk USC, talk Nebraska. Dana Holgorsen, is he kind of here to save Nebraska's season? Because that's kind of how it feels, all right? Also, is there a potential downside to Dana Holgorsen being here right now? People have widely praised this move, moving him to OC. I have praised it, but it can't all be sunshine and roses and a valley full of daisies, right? What are the potential downsides, if any? There's at least one, okay? Like I said, nothing is ever perfect. We're going to discuss all that throughout this show. Also, Carriker's Trivia Challenge. Again, what's that number so they can call in to challenge me, Jake?
402-464-5685.
And the college football playoff rankings are running wild. Right now, Georgia would not be in, and Boise State would. Georgia's the 12th ranked team in the country. But due to the seeding, Boise State would be the 12th seed, and Georgia would be on the outside looking in, ladies and gentlemen. The Big Ten has four of the top five slots. Indiana and BYU play their worst games of the season, and they both move up three slots. What? I have thoughts, if you couldn't tell. I have thoughts, ladies and gentlemen, all throughout today. But first, two of my favorite, well, one of my favorite characters, he's a coach, but in my mind, and rest in peace to Monty Kiffin, you know, former Nebraska defensive coordinator, Lane Kiffin has ties to Nebraska. All that stuff is awesome. Lane Kiffin might turn out to be a good football coach. Had a rough start with the Raiders, USC, Tennessee. You know, may have been called Miley Cyrus by an individual at one point in time. Oh, why don't we talk about that since I brought it up real briefly. I just heard this audio literally as I was driving in. This interview happened today between Lane Kiffin, who's, to me, one of my favorite characters in college football, and the ultimate freaking SEC homer of all time, Paul Feinbaum. I'll just call him the other guy. All right, this audio exchange. when Paul Feinbaum interviewed Lane Kiffin today, I had to play it, give some quick thoughts, and just have some fun with it. Go ahead and roll that footage there, that audio there, Jake.
I'm sure somebody else is going to, you know, get the Feinbaum love somewhere else, you know, that, and I'm okay with it. You know, when you take the shots, because we've talked about this before, you know, it makes you better, you know, makes you overcome things, you know, like you got me fired from USC and, you know, we've said that before, you know, now I'm saying, hey, I wouldn't have been here to have the Georgia win if you wouldn't have got me fired at USC and I wouldn't work for Coach Saban. So again, I'm grateful to you, Paul. Thanks for that day. Thanks for the Miley Cyrus comment.
Well, thank you, Coach, for always remembering that. And congratulations again. We're all very happy for you, whether we have to be reminded of Miley Cyrus or not.
All right. She's still doing pretty well. So, again, it really wasn't that big of a shock.
I think the two of you have had pretty big comebacks, if you want to get to the heart of the matter.
There you go. All right, Paul, appreciate you. Have a good week, bud.
That was too funny. And such an awkward exchange. And it was like he was trying to call Paul out, but not really. But Paul didn't know what to say. And, oh, man, I just thought that was too funny. By the way, the whole Miley Cyrus comments, all right, are from Lane's, I think at USC is when he said them. And Paul said, how did someone like Lane Kiffin ever get these jobs, Feinbaum said. And again, this was when he was at USC. How did he land the Raiders job at Tennessee and particularly the one at SC? People think it's because of his father, Monty, the great defensive wizard in some respects. Lane Kiffin is the Miley Cyrus of college football. He has very little talent, but we simply can't take our eyes off him. End quote. So my first, I'm not going to lie to you. Okay. The first time I ever heard that, I was like, that's creepy to hear Paul Feinbaum say that about a much, much, much younger girl. But we'll move on past the creepiness of the other guy, the ultimate SEC homer, Paul Feinbaum. But, oh man, I just thought it was... The exchange was funny. It was fun for us, probably not for them. It was awkward. But in a way, Lane Kiffin kind of credited beating Georgia to Paul Feinbaum as well, which I thought was kind of crazy. He wasn't really trying to do so, but in a way, he kind of did. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a voice. Like, I think it's pretty clear that Matt Rhule listened to the voice of the fans and made a move that I don't think he wanted to make, but he finally recognized he needed to make at the offensive coordinator position. Folks in the media have a voice, all right? So that was kind of the other thing that I took away because Lane was like, you basically got me fired. I seriously doubt that Paul Feinbaum got him fired, but clearly it resonated with Lane because he's talking about those comments all these years later. I'm not going to dive too much more into depth into that. Lane's just one of the ultimate characters and turning out to maybe be a pretty good college football coach in all of college football. And then you got the other guy, the SEC homer, the ESPN SEC favorite homer guy. He has said one thing. I literally never pay attention when Paul talks. I will turn if I'm listening on a podcast or a YouTube, I will turn it. I will turn the channel on TV. I'm sure some people love him. I personally, he's such a homer. I've never heard him say anything that isn't 1 billion percent support of the SEC. Not one time ever, except for one. The one time was about 5 years ago when he said, and this is how good 1995 Nebraska really must be. Because it's the only time Paul Feinbaum has not taken the side of an SEC team. When asked who the greatest college football team of all time was, and you've probably all seen this clip or heard it at some point, he said 95 Nebraska. Other than that, it's always SEC bias. All right, I just thought the exchange was pretty funny. Let's talk Nebraska. Let's talk USC. It's time to start looking ahead to the wounded animal game. If you haven't heard me say it before, they're both wounded animals. Neither team's season is over. Neither team's season, Nebraska or USC, has gone exactly the way they wanted it to. They're both wounded animals. They're both in the corner, and they're both going to come out, and they're going to meet at the Coliseum on Saturday. Part of me thinks the team that's going to win this game is the team that just cares the most. There's so much new, so much different, so much unpredictability. New offensive coordinator, new play caller. Dylan's going to play. Okay, so we don't have a new quarterback on our end, but they got a new quarterback on their end. He has a different skill set. He's a little bit better of a runner. He can take off. He can do the RPO. He can cause some problems that way. He's got a big arm. He's not anywhere near as experienced. All right, 17 TD passes to 10 INTs. So his efficiency isn't quite as good as Miller-Moss, although Miller-Moss had thrown quite a few INTs. so far this year, which probably is large part led to his benching. I don't think he played that bad, though. I think USC was just kind of like, hey, you know, there's a certain kind of music that I really, really like, but I've been listening to it for 3 hours, and we just need something new at a certain point. And I think that's what they were kind of doing with Miller Moss. Now, you can be at a party, and they can be playing the best music ever, but it's, if it's the same freaking song over and over, eventually you got to try something new. And I think that's all they're doing out there right now. Plus, Jaden Maiva is actually a pretty talented guy. 6'4", 220, solid runner, decent speed, big arm, sophomore. If he plays well to end this year, he could be the quarterback of their future. Let's say they win their last three games. They end up 7-5. Lincoln Riley can say, hey, the defense is better. We found our quarterback. We won the last three games of the year, and all of a sudden they're feeling better going into next year. We're adjusting our first year in the Big Ten. Got a little rough. Now we know what to do. That could be how they look at it. You look at coming back to Holgorsen specifically, though. It's funny to me because for the longest time, we would praise consistency in coaching staffs and the coaching staff not changing very often. Like when I was being recruited, there were three coaching staffs that had been together the longest of any other coaching staffs in the entire country. There was these three, and then there was a gigantic gap. I don't even remember who number four was because there was such a gap. But number one was actually Penn State. Joe Pa had been there forever. His staff had been there forever. Obviously, this is pre-Jerry Sandusky and all that stuff. But number two was Nebraska, right behind Penn State. Charlie McBride had been there forever. Obviously, Craig Bohl was the D coordinator at that point. Was going into my freshman year. But a lot of these guys, George Darlington, Ron Brown, a lot of those guys were still there, okay? And Coach Solich, who'd been there for a long time, was now the head coach. That's the individual who was my coach the first couple of seasons I was at Nebraska. And then you looked at Oregon. Mike Bellotti, if you remember that, going into 2002, that was the year of Joey Harrington. They ended up number two in the country. They spanked Colorado in the Fiesta Bowl like a four-year-old in Kmart. If you remember, if anybody else remembers that year, they ended up being pretty good. But Oregon had the longest consistency amongst their assistant and head coach over a long span of time. But now things have changed so much. Now we're to the point in college football has changed, NIL, transfer portal, things have changed so much. Coaches come and go so much more often. You know, I can't help but wonder, as good a D coordinator as Charlie McBride was in this day and age, how long would he have stayed at Nebraska? He probably would have been a head coach somewhere else. Thank God he stayed at Nebraska. And I think he's glad he did, honestly, but it was a different time. But here we are, 21 games into Matt Rhule's head coaching tenure, going into the 10th game of this season, and we got a brand new play caller, an offensive coordinator who wasn't here 10 days ago. And I'm applauding the move, mostly because a move needed to be made, just a move needed to be changed, and then the guy happens to be Dana freaking Holgorsen. So to me, it's a good move. It's just funny how quickly things can change.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
All right. Now, is there a drawback to Dana being here? Well, yeah, obviously, there are always drawbacks no matter what. Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. The drawback to Tom Brady, well, he's not going to take off and run on you. So if you're a pass rusher, you don't really give a crap about rush lanes because he's not going to go. There's always a drawback to everybody, everything, I mean. It doesn't matter what it is. So when you try to think, all right, what could actually be created as a new potential challenge based on this new situation, which we all believe, including myself, to be better, which is Dana Holgorsen, the offensive coordinator, and also calling plays. All right, well, how do the coaches react? All right, all of a sudden, you know, Satterfield's still here. Give him credit for not going anywhere. He's still here. A lot of coaches would not have stayed. But how does he respond? He seems to have responded like he understands, is what Matt Rhule said. And the other coaches, all of a sudden, there's a new guy. It's been reported, you know, McGuire, the wide receivers coach, is helping Holgorsen out, or at least he was, with the terminology, so he can get up to speed, caught up to speed quicker. I will say this, If I'm those assistant coaches, this is almost a refresh button, because if Satterfield stays here and you continue to struggle, there's a good chance there's a major overhaul in the entire offensive staff, and there still may be. But now with Holgorsen here, it behooves them for their position group to all of a sudden play better, because now all of a sudden if the offense plays better, everyone's going to look and say, no, it was Satterfield. Let's keep these other assistant coaches and try to keep Holgorsen, because look what happened those last three games if they went well. No, it was Satterfield. But if everyone continues to struggle, and I'm not saying there's going to be a gargantuan leap forward in the offense, I just want to see a little better efficiency, a little bit faster rate of play, things done a little bit better, a little bit more decisiveness out of the quarterback, just a little bit in these areas can make 10 to 20% worth the difference. Starting this Saturday, if we're just 10% better in various things, and then 15% better versus Wisconsin, maybe 20% better versus Iowa, just gradual little differences in all these areas, it adds up quickly. But if I'm one of these assistant coaches, I'm like, this is a fresh start. Because if all of a sudden I'm Donovan Raiola and the offensive line starts playing better, my chances of coming back next year, regardless of who I'm related to, just went up. Same with the wide receivers coach. Same with Glenn Thomas at quarterback. Same with everybody. The only person who's in the writing seems to be on the wall for Satterfield, but we will see how that plays out. And then you look at the locker room, it's like, man, we've been hearing this message of, you know, it's a process, then bang, something major changes. How do the players react to that? Here's how I tell you the players should react, like a fresh start and a new beginning. Who knows what's actually being said and how they actually feel? And I don't get the feeling that Matt Rhule really consulted a lot of them, other than I know he spoke about how Dylan Raiola felt about it. And here's what Rhule had to say. And I quote, "Dylan, trust me and trust the program. What we're doing going forward, he just took it as what we are doing today." Now, he did say, I think all the guys had a positive reaction to it. And that's basically the end of the quote. So basically, he was talking about he feels like it's been positive, but he's hinted in I think his press conference 2 Mondays ago, you know, when Holgorsen was brought in, you know, maybe there might be some interesting conversations. But here's the deal. If I'm a player, I see it as a refresh and a new start too. Okay. So other than that, I see basically nothing but positives. I really had to try to, because I try to look at both sides of the coin. I try to look at the whole picture, not just the corner of the picture we want to see. And I had a hard time trying to come up with something that I didn't think was a positive, and that's all I could really come up with. And honestly, if you think about it, it could just be a restart and a fresh start for the coaches to try to keep their jobs going forward, especially on offense, and even with the players, trying to earn play time with a new potential coach, especially, and we don't know that he's going to be here, but in a perfect world, if Holgorsen's here next year as the offensive coordinator, this is the guy you want to impress now, especially if you're a guy coming back. I do think making this move is also timely. National Signing Day, I'm not even going to call it early National Signing Day anymore. It's just National Signing Day is in December. Third week of December. I think it's the third Wednesday, something like that. Transfer portal opens up December 9th. It's hard to sell playing for the offense that Nebraska had the first 9 games. First of all, what are we? Who are we? What do we do? I don't know. How do you sell an offense you don't know what your identity is? And then it wasn't very good. It wasn't very consistent. All right. Now it's like, all right, especially if you can keep Holgorsen here. Hey, this is exciting for quarterbacks. This is exciting for receivers. This is exciting. And now we know who we are and what we are and what we're trying to be. If he ends up staying, at least the rest of the season, you know what you're trying to do. And if you can at least go into a recruit's house and be like, hey, this is what we were able to do those last 3 games under a new direction, whether Holgorsen's the guy here or not, next year you can at least say a new direction. If it is Holgorsen, then you can say under Holgorsen's direction. But this is key timing as far as recruiting high school players and transfer portal guys, which is going to be heavy, heavy in December. Most of you are aware, Dawson Merritt, the Alabama linebacker, commit. A lot of people expect him to flip at any point in time to Nebraska. I don't know if as many people know this, but 5-star athlete Michael Terry, Nebraska visited him last week. Nebraska is still on his radar. All right. Now, when it comes to but playing on the field, as far as improving things, obviously Holgorsen's a quarterback's coach, a wide receiver's coach, and an offensive coordinator. That's what he's been his entire life. All right. He's never, by the way, as an offensive coordinator, he's never had an offense finish lower than number two in the nation in passing. As a coordinator, never lower than number two in the nation in passing. But when you think about the wide receivers, we have guys in that room who were pretty accomplished wide receivers in college football before. Isaiah Nayor, a couple years ago, you know, was supposed to be the number one guy at Texas, hurts his knee, then he goes and he's all conference at Wyoming. Jamal Banks was an all ACC type player at Wake Forest. They come here and they kind of disappear. A lot of what's happening right now is opponents don't respect our run game because there's nothing to fear right now with our run game. So what they can do is they can two high safety, man across the board. Dylan's not going to run. So if you go in man-to-man, you can turn your back to the quarterback to cover your man, unlike when you're dropping in a zone and you're facing the quarterback in your zone. Zones are better for scrambling quarterbacks. Man-to-man, not as good sometimes, because when your back's to the quarterback covering your man, he can take off and you don't see him for 20, 30 yards down the field. So you have to worry about the quarterback running. As many skill sets as Dylan has, he's not phenomenal at that. He's shown he'll do it at least, so I'll take that. But you can go too high safety because you don't have to put an eighth man in the box because you don't fear the run game of Nebraska. So then over the top is taken away because two safeties deep, not just one. Man-to-man because you don't worry about the quarterback running. And then you compress because the two safeties are going to take away the deep ball. So now you've got to protect short and underneath. Well, now you can get in the receiver's face and press, and we can't get off the press. So maybe Holgorsen can help with simple things. Talked about this before, putting people in bunch, putting them in trips, putting them in motion, yo-yo motion, creating space, spreading guys out a little bit, getting off a freaking jam, not just lining up, taking 14 years to do so, hardly any movement. The defense knows exactly where you are. They can line up in their two-man if they want to. Run the ball, Nebraska. Go ahead. 2.8 yards the last four games. Maybe Holgorsen can help by teaching the receivers how to get off a jam, a press, a little bit better. All of a sudden, these guys are not having to deal with much jam and press because they're in motion. They're in bunch. And now you've got Ja'Cory Barney. Maybe you can get him in space on a linebacker, make the linebacker uncomfortable. I can't wait to see. Because Holgorsen tries to spread people out, and then this one-on-one matchup over here I like. There might be four one-on-one matchups out there. Okay, maybe I like two of them. Maybe I like one of them. Let's go attack that one. Ja'Cory Barney is a one-on-one matchup nightmare, especially for a linebacker if you spread him out in space. Make him go with him in motion or something. So these are all things that Dana Holgorsen can help with. All right, let's see what else I got here. It is interesting because if we could potentially get Holgorsen to stay here, which I think is what everyone would prefer, he's still getting paid from Houston. So I would have to imagine, not that Nebraska is hurting for money, the University of Nebraska, but you wouldn't have to pay Holgorsen as much. Probably a normal Big Ten offensive coordinator rate, plus he's getting the money from Houston. I think he gets half his normal salary next year from, or 2 years from now from Houston. But he's going to get being paid a lot more, yet you don't have to pay him as much, and hopefully you can still get him to stay. A little bit of a bargain rate there. All right. I do think there's going to be a lot of Nebraska fans out at USC. I am genuinely curious, does USC even care anymore? Their fans don't care. There may be more than 15,000 Nebraska fans there. I'm curious to see what the crowd split is. Is it 50-50? Probably not. There's probably still more USC fans, but I wonder if the Nebraska fans will be louder in the game, especially if they're in a particular end zone where USC's offense is. Might be able to make an impact. You never know. All right. There was actually something that I saw. And I saw this like a week ago, but I haven't talked about it. But I'm just running out of patience. I'm just going to talk about it. I haven't talked about it because we're not bowl eligible. Jay, can I just, I'm going to put you in charge for 10 seconds here.
Okay.
There's bowl projections and we are among them. Can I talk about this for 10 seconds?
I think so.
Am I allowed to do this?
Yeah.
If we're not actually bowl eligible?
I think so, yeah.
All right. So right now we are projected to go to the, good God, Bad Boy Mowers, whatever. It's a bowl game. Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl inside Yankee Stadium. All right. And last week we were projected to play Virginia Tech. This week, we're now projected to play Georgia Tech. Ladies and gentlemen, there is your Nebraska bowl projection update. More to come when we're bowl eligible. How much time we got there, Jake?
Probably wrap it up pretty quickly.
All right, I got one last thing. I just thought this was too funny. So I've gone on this individual show several times. TJ Pettigrew. He's got a national college football show. Check it out on YouTube. He doesn't even know I'm plugging this. Okay. But I've gone on. He's a good dude. He's very passionate. But he's a big Florida State fan. He goes, serious question. Do you guys think Florida State is the best nine-loss team in the country right now? Dude, I fell over laughing when I saw that. The answer is no. I don't even know all the 9 loss teams. Okay. Oh, by the way, Kent State had their first lead of the season.
Oh, good.
Remember
good,
they hadn't led all year?
Yeah.
They scored 1.5 minutes into the game versus Miami of Ohio. They led 7-0. They lost 34-7, but they led for the first time all year. By the way, the greatest 9 loss team of all time, ladies and gentlemen, I hesitated to talk about some of these things, but sometimes you just got to have fun, is still the 2021 Nebraska football team. 9 losses, every single one of them by 1 score. And I know it's going to make some people mad, but just roll with the punches here with me, because I've seen Will Compton tweet this out 1,000,000 times about being the greatest 9 loss team of all time. But I messaged TJ and I was like, I don't know if FSU is the best 9 loss team in the country right now. Probably not. I mean, my gosh, they're probably going to be the best 11 loss team in the country by the end of the year, though. But Nebraska 2021 is still the greatest 9 loss team of all time. Agree or disagree, Jay?
Oh, I completely agree. They would almost beat that Florida State team.
Oh, you would take Florida State?
Well, neither of them win. Florida State actually averages 13 true. Points right now. So I'd have to take that 2021 Nebraska team. But they always found a way to lose. I don't know. I think my brain would just explode.
I'm with you. Florida State, they don't lose by one possession, though. They get blown out all the time. 52-3 to Notre Dame, just for perspective for some of your fine folks. So I'm pretty sure 2021 Nebraska would dominate 2024 Florida State. All right, we're going to take a break. Ladies and gentlemen, character trivia. Either when we come back, do we have a caller?
We can. This is the time to ask for one.
All right. Either when we come back or the following segment, be the first one to call in. How about that? You can go toe-to-toe with yours truly. Character trivia challenge is going on today. Jake, what is that number?
402-464-5685. Try to knock character down to 500.
I like how you threw that in at the end. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.